Myself, yeah, okay. Okay, Tov. Morning, everybody.
Morning.
So we're on Kufman Vov. We spoke about Avraham Avinu. He's discovering in himself what the truth was. Something about himself that he discovered. Mod chashuv to know that. As a result of that, he couldn't help himself, and he went to war against the Sheker in the world, even though it was a Sekhon and a Foshus. And I'll pee the dinim of a Benoch, which is what he was really at that stage, was Osa. It was Osa to do that. It could be one of the reasons, I don't know, that could be one of the reasons why Shem the Ava didn't go out in Lilachem. We know that Nimrod went after Avraham Avinu, tried to destroy him, tried to kill him, tried to uproot all his work. We don't see anywhere that Nimrod had any problems with Shem the Ava. They didn't try and close the Shem Ve'eva's yeshiva. Shem Ve'eva sat in a little mountain retreat and learned Torah. And they must have been learning some good stuff there, because otherwise, what was Yaakov Avinu doing there for 14 years? And must have been pretty, pretty powerful stuff. He never slept for 14 years. You don't sleep in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva. And Yitzhak and Avram learned this. So they must have been doing something right. And yet, you don't see anywhere that they were persecuted. It could be because of this, because they never went to Lilachem. They never went out to fight, because they held it was awesome. Could be that they that's why they never did. The Rambam there, the Magid Mishnah there, on the Kesef Mishnah there on the Rambam, why the Rabbit's Kash on the Rambam, why it was Avraham Avinu Davka, what was Shem Ve'eva? So there he says, because they weren't Machris, they didn't go out and proclaim, because they held it was also because son of Sekhon and Nefoshes. And Avraham Avinu was an honest, he couldn't. This is before HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Magal himself to Avraham Avinu. So the same thing today. A person has a look at the world around him. You have to have the discernment. You have to know what's Jewish and what's not. What's Sheker and what's MS. How to use it. The law is a lot pashut. It requires a lot of deep machshava and a lot of, you need a Rebbe. Okay. Kuf Mem Vav. So we all know, we have a sense, we have a feeling, we have a tzipia, a hope, a yearning that we're close to Mashiach. All the simonim are in place. We're on the brink of Mashiach. Today, tomorrow, in 50 years' time, 100 years' time, I don't know, Aval, it's close. Very interesting. The Midrash says that Mashiach can't come to the Jewish people until there's no government in Eretz Yisrael. So there's no government in Eretz Israel. That's another one of the simonim. It's another one of the simonim. Government makes decisions and the whole country turns around and says, we're not listening. 12 municipalities yesterday said they're not enforcing the Sega. I don't understand. The government passed the decision as a Sega. 12 municipalities, 12 cities turn around and say, we're not enforcing it. We're not enforcing it. Rebellion. That's a rebellion. Try to do that in China. See what happens to you. Aval Port, there's no government. Ain't government here anymore. Somebody thinks there's a government here. There's no government. That's a Midrash Mufereshes. Mashiach won't come until there's no government in the land of Israel. You have that. There's no government today. Everybody does what he wants. Why am I in Bet Shemesh? Do whatever you want. There's no government. So you get a sense. We know. We're close. And I'm dim bedoreinu lifnei kiyum ha'avtocha elokit. The Navi says, in the same way that you went out of Mitzrayim, I showed you awesome wonders. It's the same thing's going to be when you go out of this Golus. This Golus is going to be ma'od domeh to going out of Mitzrayim. Move as Ramakadoshim Shelora can listen van a flow shalitzias Mitzrayim Yahzu alatzma. Now you need to know this is a klal, the klal on the Chagim as well. It's not just the miracles and wonders. You know, these are the days of miracles and wonders, you know, that's it. Yeah. So that we'll see the miracles. No. All the nisoinis and the sakonas and the dangers and the problems that Klal Yisrael had before the geula, the going out of this geula, the matzovim before the geula, the standing on Kriyas Yamsuf before the sea splits. There's a on Shvi'a Shel Pesach we have the all the koiches of Kriyas Yamsuf comes back again. But Rav Pinkus always used to say, and all the sakonah come back as well. It was the unbelievable Sakone Vimuna when we stood on Kriyas Yah, when we stood on the Yam and the Yam hadn't split yet. And the Mitzvah were behind and the Midbar and the Chayot and the animals on the right and the sea in front of them. I didn't know how to swim. And Nisoyin Gadol. Ah, the sea split in Achinami, but the Nisoyin before also happens again every year. So too, when before Mashiach comes, the Matzovim that we'll be in will be Doime Ma'ot to the Matzovim Klal Yisrael was in Mitzrayim. And therefore, that's good because now we can learn from them and see what they did and how to learn and how to get out of, not to make the same mistakes. We'll see a Moedika Toiria, Moedika, Nifladika. If you're going to miss any Shirim, don't miss today and tomorrow. That's unbelievably important stuff here. Percent of Klal Yisrael died in the ninth plague. They were zeichet to eight makas, eight plagues. Each one was more penetrating and revealing the unbelievable hashgocha of Hashem in the world. And hashgocha pratis, goch godel. Hashgocha klalis, hashgocha pratis, Hashem's total control over the entire world, of the nature world, everything. And yet, in the ninth plague, 80% of Klal Yisrael died. They're not going on a mitzvah. Meduba become a million Yehudi Shemesu. You're talking about a few million people. Yeah, I'm talking about 10 or 20 people, I'm talking about millions. Why did they die? As Nitain Lema Kapshuta Shirak begin Rushosam Bilvad Haimesu. So the usual answer is they were Rushoim, they were Rushoim, they couldn't come out. Shagam Gam Hazoichim the Tsaisi Oivda Vodazora. The ones that went out were also Oivda Vodazora. The Makatrik came to Kosh Baruch Hu and said, I don't see any difference between the Jews and the Mitzrim. They're both Bala Vodazora, Manaf Kamina, and Hashem couldn't argue with him. Not only that, but Rishraim did go out. Dosin Vaviram, we know, did go out. The Erev Rav went out. They weren't the Tzaddikim of the generation. So it couldn't have just been because of their rishis that they died. Vim came Ma'asiba Shebegina Meisu Kolka Chabi Yudi. Why did so many Jews down the brink of the Gula? You're hanging this long, and now you get lost? What's going on here? You have to understand this, because if you have a situation where Kodesh Baruch Hu's Megale himself, with a Yad Chazoka and an outstretched arm, if after eight plagues, eight makas, there were still Jews that weren't connected to Gula. We need to learn not to be over the same mistake. They did something wrong, that's for sure. And we need to find out what it is, because we don't want to do the same mistake. We want to be the ones that are fitting, that are shaykh to it. Now there's a Chasam Sofer here. We'll see. The Chasam Sofer in Beshalach, you go look it up if you want. Unbelievable, mind-boggling shtickle Chasam Sofer, prophetic, unbelievable. Let's go through it slowly, and you'll see kama as a shaykh to our nisoyin, our problem, our situation that we have today. But Rabbi Shabbos Galo mibnei shalach Chasam Sofer, Rabbi Shimon Sofer, in the Mechtav Sofer there, I haven't looked that up, in the Reb Shimon Sofer, but he says like this, Muim Dvarim HaKadoshim Shel Aviv HaGadol Moran HaChasam Sofer. He brought the words from his Heilige Father, the Holy Chasam Sofer, Shemava Ki Misosim Shel Oisim Yehudim Mitzrayim Lo Ya'oinesh. Build the Chasam Sofer, and then we'll get to the Chasam Sofer in Beshalach, and you'll see unbelievable stuff here, unbelievable. The 80% that never came out of Mitzrayim wasn't an oynesh. You learn oynesh. It's because of unbelievable rachmanus Hashem had on them. The Kosh Baruch knows what's going on, yeah? Hashem knows the future. He knows what's going to be. He understands everybody, everything. Hashem knew that he was about to test Klal Yisrael with two very difficult nisyonos. After Makas Choshech, he was going to test Klal Yisrael with two very, very difficult nisyonos. And he knew that this 80% wouldn't be able to matzliach in the nisoin. I'm getting the question of yediyah vebechiriyah. Tazov, put that aside if that's what's bothering you now. Okay? But he knew, and therefore, what did he do? Hashem didn't want them to die in their rishus, in having failed the test. In order that they shouldn't fail the final two tests, Hashem took them out the world before. Better they should die in the tzidkus, in the having not tripped up and failed in this nisoin. 80% Hashem knew wouldn't pass the two tests. So now you're platzing to know what are the two tests, because we need to know, because if we don't know those two tests, so we can maybe do them ourselves, God forbid. Let's see. So as Chasam Sofer, in his Pirush on Beshalach, Chasam Sofer La Torah, explains like this. And Nisoyin HaRishon Hayeh Bezman Makas Choshech. The first Nisoyin was mamish by Makas Choshech. B'shah Shemitzrim HaYishrim B'choshech Omok Sheminam Me'em Esarois Ve'es HaPilot. It was such a terrible darkness that they couldn't, not only could they not see, but they couldn't move. They got stuck in darkness. As Lifnei Yisrael Hayeh O B'moshvoisom. Klal Yisrael at all, wherever they were. There was light. The Makkah didn't affect them at all. It was one of the unbelievable. That was part of the nice. was that the Hashgacha Pratis? You saw it. The darkness knew how to discern between the Mitzrim and the Yidden. Lo rak bebateim hayeludim or elakidumi biroesenu hem nichnasu lebatei Mitzrim. Not only in their own houses did they have light, but also wherever they went into the houses of the Mitzrim and they had light there. Veroi es chidre machshiyosom. There they saw Emroi es oitzroiseim shel Mitzrim. Hashem told them, go in and look around and check where all the wealth is, where all the values are. Go look for all where the safe is, where all the jewelry is hidden, where the gold is, where all the wealth of the Mitzrim, where it is, but don't take it. Es hakesef hazah shenimtza b'kol pinah v'kani alem nisoyin. Hashem told them, can't take it, just go look at where it is. Afterwards you'll get it, but now you just go look and see it, but don't touch it. It's like telling a kid to go to the ice cream store, you know, the 90 flavor ice cream store, and look at all the ice creams that not buy an ice cream. You know, that's quite a nisoyin, no? That's not a posh nisoyin. The nisoyin's even worse here. Why? Hamshicha tabit shele hativit shele hamshicha hativit shelehem aisli tol malo chafnim mikolo itzrei solalu shele ze gilem betzedek laachas shnei savodes perach hayomim shamitzrim avido isam bli leshalem lempruta. The wealth was theirs. They'd worked, slaved, avodes perach, year in year out, tortured, abused 24 hours a day, and were never paid. So all this wealth really belonged to the Yidden. Where did they get their wealth from originally? It was from Yosef HaTzadik. That's how Mitzrayim became the richest country in the world. It was because of Yosef. And this is the Koros HaTov. This is how you treat Yosef's children. So the money is mine. It's not your money. It's a Magili. It's not like you're going to someone your next neighbor's house and you want to steal. Mazakashu, why are you taking it? It's not yours. But yeah, it's mine. And James says, I know, but don't take it. But Yosef Lachach, Kolo Yisrael Mitzrayim, give me Yosef HaTzadik. Besada, okay. Had not been for Yosef, they would have died out. There would be nothing left of Mitzrayim. There was also part of Hashem's plan. So when Klal Yisrael goes out of Mitzrayim, all the world's wealth went out with them. They didn't have to go look for it in the jungles of the Brazil or whatever. That was all there waiting for them in Mitzrayim. That was all there. And they just took it and left. Hashem arranged for everybody in the world to bring all their wealth to Mitzrayim. Amazing. That the Ashkoch of that alone is mind-boggling. Anyway. Oymed Yudimula Oren Shel Shechreinei Agoy. He's standing in the goy's house. He knows that the goy, that's it. The goy can't see, he can't move. The goy's dog can't do anything. The Hamatzlemot law of dim, you know, the alarms, the burglar alarms are all off. The electric fences aren't working. I'm from South Africa. You see, I know how to protect the house. So the electric fences aren't working. I call Manutak, and you go in, and the you can see the bitch there, and he's Manutak. He's Mashutak. He can't do nothing. And you're standing in front of his this big walk-in strong room with all the gold and the silver and whatever. And he just wants to take a little bit, you know, just to see him over the next few weeks, whatever, you know, he has an unbelievable taiva to take it. We all have a taiva some moment. as he'll have something for when he goes out of Mitzrayim. Ulama asher achem anayim imenu. Atzav Eloki. But he's got a problem. Hashem said no. V'kodesh Baruch Hu omer loy lekachat. Hashem said don't take. Alav litkaber lo lekachat. You're not a take. Afterwards, I'll give you permission. You'll go ask for the goyim, and the goyim will give it to you anyway. The pasuk says, so the woman will go ask from her neighbor, and she'll give it to him. To take without permission, the makas choishe Hashem didn't allow. That's a difficult nisoyin, Rabbi Isa. Let's try and make this a bit real. Let's do a little bit of Musa avoida here. You have to switch on your imaginations now. I know it's early in the morning for your Dimion to be working, but switch on your Dimion here, okay? The few months after the Holocaust, in the middle of the when the war ended, so he remembers they went kimani chazu yedim nosafim oidim shenitzulam aisa tufos. They were yidden that survived the war. Shvurim beguf v'nefesh chazanu le'arois. They were broken, shattered in body and in spirit. And they went back to their homes. They went back to their cities afterwards. You came from wherever. You came from Pressburg. You went back to Pressburg. Lebatim ha'uvim shelanu. You left your beautiful home where you spent your life, where you grew up, the Shabbos and Yom Tovim, the wonderful memories, and you go back there. Ulam lo matzane muma, there was nothing. Hakol nechrav, ein bayit v'ein mishpocha. The houses were destroyed, there was no family, there was no familiarity, there was no kila, there was nothing. Ein beis midrash v'ein chaverim, no beis midrash, nothing. Ma'um lo na'isim avanu ma'for, nothing of the glory of what the Yiddish lives in Europe looked like was left. The anger, can you imagine the anger welled up inside of them? Unbelievable. They were angry at the Czechoslovakian, at the locals that had allowed such a thing to happen. All they wanted was nakama. Unbelievable desires of revenge came over them. He was there, he's talking about himself. There were even that couldn't hold themselves back. They went into the Goyisha houses. They went, they stole, they damaged. The mamash, unbelievable, they wanted revenge. And also from the Germans, for sure. It was an expression of the nakama of everything they'd lost. You can never pay back what they lost. Unbelievable. They had a feeling of nakama. You go in there and you mamash, give them a bit of a take away from them, their money, this damaged property, whatever. And it was still, they had a feeling of nakama. Abi Zichrono Livrocha lo itasek binyanim eilu. His father wouldn't let them. They didn't get involved in this. Nimna milakachet kesef lo shelo. He wouldn't take money that didn't belong to him. He said his father was one of the few that withstood the nisoid. Most of them couldn't stand the nisoid. No one's judging anybody here, by the way. But he said his father couldn't. He just couldn't take money that didn't belong to him. He also had feelings of nakama. He also was. Clarissa was in a very similar situation. He saw there his grandmother's candlesticks. That was taken away from them. When the Mitzrim enslaved them, they took away all their rechush. They had a desire to nakama. You don't have a desire to nakama? So Shmoyni Machuz Me'am. Akosh Baruch Hu took about 80% of the nation. Ki Yod Hashem Lo Yoichlu Lamed Ben Nisoyin. You know what a Nisoyin this is? 80% of Klal Yisrael wouldn't have passed this test. If you think, what's the problem? If I was there, I wouldn't have taken. Hashem said, don't take it. And you'll get it tomorrow anyway. So what's the problem? Mishka, that's not a Nisoyin. 80% of Klal Yisrael didn't withstand the Nisoyin. So don't think that we would just breeze through that Nisoyin. You'll see now. That's it, 80%. So why does Hashem give them this nisoin? Why give them such a terrible nisoin? Tell them, don't go into the midstream's houses, which is much easier. Then they won't see the wealth. They won't have desire to take it. And then they won't have the nisoin. You give them a nisoin that they can't withstand, so you can wipe out 80% of Klal Yisrael. Why? You don't have enough water to feed the 80% when they're in the desert? That's your problem? Why did you do this? As Rabbi Seinu Masbirim, this was a necessary requirement to be able to leave Mitzrayim, this test. We know that going out of Mitzrayim wasn't just a physical escape from prison. Hashem doesn't take us out of the slave pits of Mitzrayim to put us somewhere else in our bodies. It was a spiritual redemption. Mitzrayim was the center, the world of Koich V'Yotzim Yodi. That's how it worked, from Paro all the way down. Paro was his own God, he created himself. That's how much Koich V'Yotzim Yodi he had. Yeah. They didn't need rain because the Nile irrigated all of Mitzrayim, so you didn't have to worry about rain. You weren't tolu on anything, so it was Kulu Koich V'Yotzim Yodi. So now you have to give up all that koich v'yotzim yodi. You don't know anything else. You have to give up all that dependency on Mitzrayim, and you have to pack up and go into the desert. Be'eretz lo zeruah. Lechtach achar b'midbar. Hashem says, "Zochati chesed nuraich." You walk into a desert. Yeah, you ready to do that? You're allowed to take 15 kilos in your backpack. We're going to the Gobi Desert for a couple of months. Anybody want to come with? What about food, water? Don't worry. There's no food, water. You'll see. The food will flow from the sky, and there'll be a miracle well that will come with us, and an air covered. And you're going to the midbar like that. There's a little sheikh. What do I have to take for? Hashem's going to take care of me in the midbar. What do I need money and kesef for? Hashem will take care of me. That's unbelievable. You're saying that. But in order to go out of Mitzrayim and to have a spiritual redemption, you need to step into the midbar. You need to step into a world where you're totally dependent on Hashem and not your own koich v'etzim yodi, your own cleverness. Geulas Mitzrayim, he pdus mikablei hazman u'mechoike hateva. Geulas Mitzrayim means you're transcending into a whole new world. You're not just taking your body from one country into another country. You're going into a whole new dimension, a whole new mindset. He etzia me'aklal shel b'zeis ha'plecha toich alechem. You're not paying tax anymore. The tax, the klal of b'zeis ha'plecha toich alechem, You're not tolu on your ishtadlis anymore. You have to make your ishtadlis, whatever the ishtadlis is. You have to grind the flour. You have to go fetch the money. You have to eat it. You have to make ishtadlis. Not saying not. Aval to understand it, it's b'zeis ha'plecha toich alechem. It's a klala. It's a tax. No one pays more tax than you have to. But we ma'amin b'Hashem. Yalich acha kolish bochu be'enayim atzumos mibli ledoeg liyom ha'machah. You're not worrying about tomorrow. You can't take more money. You take enough money for today. What'll be tomorrow? You're going to sleep tonight. The fridge is empty. And you sleep beautifully. No problems. You're not worried. That's not a poshut, yeah? You know, Hashem will take care of you. And that's how it was. The ones who went out. No questions, no arguments. Boom. They went to a place you can't grow anything, you can't eat, there's nothing, there's no water, there's nothing. They were totally dependent on Hashem for food and water. They got this miracle food every morning. She's galgalei mom, but kolmas osayim v'harvosusu es tzamon. That Bear Miriam that came along with, we don't know what that water was, what that tasted like. So they went with pure, unbelievable dedication and betochen in Hashem. They didn't lose that, everything they needed. Pelel Shimurim, his story is there. Let's start the second nisoin. So that's the first nisoin. The first nisoin is, are you prepared to have imun and betochen and be totally dependent and reliant on Hashem? Or you're gonna take a little bit out there, you're gonna gun it from the neighbor, you're gonna take a bit, yeah, you're gonna put your foot on the scale, you're gonna do some dodgy things, you're gonna daven short because you've got to get to work, all sorts of nisoinus we have. You know, the current Gary Rebbe said, I felt it myself. He said, this chisun is an enormous nisoin in imuna. When he went to have the chisun, he said, it's an enormous nisoin in imuna. You think the chisun does anything? You have to do it. You don't have to do it. Whatever. I'm talking about whatever you want. I'm not getting into the subject now. You can do it. You should do it. You have to do it. You mustn't do it. I don't know. I'm the law now. So the law is so in Shaliyachshav. The law, that's not my nose. But I went to do it. Yeah. I personally feel that you should do it. So I went to do it. Okay. Not I personally feel. I think that's what the halacha is. I think after reading all the poiskim and going into all the sugya and whatever, I think a person has a chiv to make this ishtadlis. Okay, that's my own humble opinion. It's not a psak. I'm not a poisek. That's what the poiskim say. It's a halachic shala. It's not a feeling shala. Anyway, so you go there and they give you this vaccine. So now you feel, wow, now I'm safe. Why? Because of the chisun? That's like trusting your bank manager. That's like trusting your bank manager. Exactly. Choy v'salavavus in Shara B'tochen says it's exactly the same. The Choy v'salavavus disagrees with you. I don't want to say more. I just said I don't want to. The seatbelt's a different story. We'll see. I'll explain. We can close the sefer. We can take a week or two and start learning Shara B'tochen and Chovos HaLevavos and see how he learns the sugya. What, you want to learn the sugya in 1 second? Shnia, it's a sugya. We come to the Monday night Vad and we'll go through it. We'll build it. 9 o'clock Monday night, we're starting the subject now. We're going to just do it. The Chovos HaLevavos doesn't mechalek between Ishtalos for Panasa and Ishtalos for Refuah. The other approaches they do. Because that's a pechat toichalechem. It has nothing to do with refuah, no? So the Chovos HaLevavos says ishtadlus. He doesn't think that's going to do with b'zayas pechat toichalechem. According to the Mesillas Yesharim, who says that b'zayas pechat toichalechem is ishtadlus for panasa. So refuah is another shala. That's from Yerapi. You have a chiv to take a refuah. Some say it's only a resource. It's not a chiv. Okay, that's a big machlekes. The Rambam and the Ramban. I'm not going into that now. Yeah, you want to learn the sugya, but learn the sugya properly. You know me. I'm not into, you know. This isn't TorahAnytime.com. This is hard work, you know. Money, I say. This is where we have to work. I'm not prepared to go into the subject. I'm telling you for myself personally. Is there any sign? You pick up the phone and you phone a donor in New York and you ask him to send you a check and he sends you a check. You have to know that the phone call didn't get the check. You would have got the check without the phone call. You have to know that bullshit. That's so easy to know. No, you have to make the ishtadlus and daven that Hashem gives you the clarity that you see that there's no connection between the ishtadlus and the panasa. I was there. Tov, okay, that's not our subject now. I'm not discussing ishtadlus now and betochen. I mean, it's a lifetime's work there. That's the ikan nisoin of betochen, is ishtadlus. If you don't have to make ishtadlus, betochen's easy. It's when you have to make ishtadlus and see the ishtadlus is not doing anything, so it's call me Hashem. Oh. Well, that's a poshut. And when to make ishtadlis and when not to make ishtadlis. Hey, come on. Huh? What's not the chisun? Of course. That's what I said. It's an ishtoin in imuna. She sticks this needle in your arm and you think that little liquid in there is going to do anything? It's a little sick klum. You think it's got side effects? Ain't klum. A kol mi kodesh baruch hu. You think this virus can do anything? No, it's a gam al kodesh baruch hu. Okay, but we're not holding there. We live in a different world from that. That's okay. That's not our subject. What is our subject? I forgot now what we're dealing with. We're starting the second Nisoin. Okay, we'll have to start the second Nisoin tomorrow then. B'zrat Hashem. Okay. The first Nisoin, thank you, Baruch. That's when you let Bepchik into the shir, you know that you're going to have problems. Anyway. You bet. He made me a coffee, so I have to be nasty. Okay. Okay.
Why can't it just be
Robert?
Why can't it just be what?
Why can't it just
be easy?
It soon does work, and it's obviously from Hashem. It's not disconnected. Hashem made this macha. He makes it reflect, and the little liquid in your arm does do something.
Okay, but what can I do? The Chovas Lavavos says it doesn't. There may be shittas that say, do, okay, I'm not going to eat the whole machlokes.
Is there medicine at all? No medicine?
That's what believe. He says you have to take it. Chovas Lavavos says you have to take the medicine, but know that it doesn't do anything and there's no side effects. They're klo klum. And the klum, the same as your panosa. It's ain klum, the law says klum. Hishtadlis einu moel avalu muchrach.
Then I wouldn't need to eat either.
In achinami. You have a chiv to eat, not because you like food, but because you have a chiv to look up to that. Yeah, okay. So let me just let's just finish off here while Baruch's rambling. These other people want to go home. Have a good day. And that's one reason not to have the chisun, so you don't have to come back here and worry about Baruch. Once you have the chisun, you've got no excuse not to come back to the Beis Midrash. So I found you an excuse, you don't have to come back. There's no chisun for Bepchik. Okay. Have a good day.